TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. We're going to be talking about Dutch sheets. And, part of the VFN Dream Center, when we talk about and explain the VFN Dream Center as apostolic center, what God's conviction is for us and what we're doing, you know, Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it clear so other people can know that God's calling them to relate to it. Is this that? And for us, it is. Mm-hmm. And Dutch Sheets, you know, he talks about it. He says, listen, I don't want to pastor a church. I want to be able to lead an apostolic center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, understand, the church is the church, but he's talking apostolically. When you look at Paul led an apostolic center. Everything that was happening around him was just vibrating in the context of reaching this whole generation for God. Church birthings, government, everything was going on around. And that's what, when you think about that. But Dutch Sheets is talking about here in a article that he had written called Seeds for Becoming Who We Are. And I just want to share a little bit of it, if I have time, to be able to share it with you. Mm-hmm. And he says, as a father in this generation, I thrive on helping others realize and fulfill God's dream for them. When imparting life lessons to this emerging world changers, he says, imparting these life lessons to emerging world changers, I always emphasize that we can fully embrace our identity in Christ only when we're willing to participate in the process God has designed for our success.
Mm.
You know, it's like the fruit and the seed thing we were talking about. I mean, when God says, you know, God will give a man of it, God will give, this is what Dr. Michael Brown repeats and has said, and we have said and experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, God will give a man a vision, then he will destroy the man and he'll bring forth the vision.
Right.
It's kind of the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it will bear no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, you know, what's the difficulty here? It's like, die already.
Mm.
I'm trying to, if I die, how is this thing going to come to pass? Well, it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
It has to do with God in you, the seed that God's planted in you. This is powerful. And it goes on to say, it is good to desire growth, change, maturity, and results. But we frequently want results without embracing process that will yield them.
Mm.
In the same way that we long for the finished product, we also need to undertake and embrace a passion for the path, the journey to our completion. You got to enjoy where you are and submit where you are on the way to where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to get there if you don't get on the road. And if you don't stay on the road, wherever you're going to end up, it's not going to be the place that God had for you. You got to begin to embrace the journey. Understand that to really know him, that it's gonna require for you to deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that his plans are better for you than your own. He goes on to say, he says, we cannot expect to be overnight legends in the faith. He's like, you know, I guess this folks he's training up. Are you trying to be a legend in the faith?
Pat?
I don't know. Mm. The faithful one. And he says, you cannot expect to be overnight legends. You trying to be a legend? No, I'm actually just trying to survive.
Right, exactly. Like, just hanging on.
I don't, you know, whatever you want to do with me once I'm gone, but right now, just kind of lay low, keep the Lord high. We cannot expect to be overnight legends, he writes in the faith. A life of obedience necessitates conforming to God's means, his process, just as much as his ends, the finished product. Think about it. Mm. It's just as much as submitting to the process. It necessitates our obedience to this process. It's just as much as the ends that are going to happen. They come together. If we continue abiding, listen to this. If we continue abiding and abiding and abiding, it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
Let me say it again. This is with Duck Cheats. If we continue abiding and abiding and abiding, it will happen. By the way, just as a let you know, if you are not abiding, we got a plan for you at iabide.org. Begin today and you will see. Maybe you'll be a legend in a fade. You know? I don't know. God's will come to pass in your life. He says, if we continue abiding and abiding and abiding, it will happen. The truth will make you free. So shall my word be which goes forth from your mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word will not return void. It will accomplish that, what it set out to do. Isaiah 55:11. Seeking permanent change. I mean, that we want. Everybody wants change, right? Seeking permanent change. He goes on to say, several years ago, the Lord spoke something to me that was one of the greatest revelations I've ever received. I was talking to him about why the word wasn't working in me. Truth be told, I was complaining about seeking a lack of fruit or seeing a lack of fruit in my life. I sat under countless good teachers, listened to all the right tapes, read all the classic books, and all I heard was how I was supposed to be victorious in every area of my life. With pure heart motives for being greatly used by God, I aim to be the best Christian I could possibly be. Oftentimes, along this quest, I would leave powerful church services and prayer meetings high on hope that I now have what I needed to finally see permanent change. This is it. But a few days later, and you guessed it, I was the same. God, why isn't this working in me? I cried out. I was pretty upset, feeling like a complete failure. And then he spoke to me. What, without a doubt, has been one of the most important things I have ever learned. This is what he said. Because all truth comes to you in seed form. All truth comes to you in seed form. That's exactly, y'all did exactly, because the next thing he basically, That's what he says. That's what he meant. That's so cool. Is that a confirmation or what? That's what he has next. That's much more. He continued, for those people who are teaching you, the ones who are giving you all these testimonies of what worked for them, that truth is a fruit in them now, but it isn't transferred to you as fruit. It comes to you as seed. Whether it bears the same fruit in you depends on what you do with it. Because all truth comes in seed form. Think about that.
That's good.
Wow. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's real good.
If you do what they did and abide in my word, the seed will grow in you as well. And the truth will make you free, just as it has them. I mean, is this like the generation like now? And it's like, okay, boom. Well, I just feel like a hamburger bun at McDonald's. Right. All these sesame seeds on me. He's like, yeah, now abide.
Now water right? it.
Now water it. Abide. Spend time with God. It's like, I didn't want seeds. I wanted apples.
Right.
I didn't want seeds. I wanted bananas.
Right.
Don't you understand? We are not an agriculture society anymore. We don't grow anything.
Only 2%. 2%.
Only 2%. Isn't that interesting? 3% abides. 3% abides, 3% tithes and offers, and 2% farms. I'm getting to begin to understand something right here. And wow. God's bringing judgment on the hybrid seed, according to John Paul Jackson. And so he goes on to say, he says, I chewed on this for a while. I began to think of all those I knew who were clearly bearing fruit in certain areas of their lives. A former drug addict whose mind was fried immediately began to immerse himself in God's word after giving his life to Christ. For hours each day, he would read and meditate upon and memorize and speak scripture. After only a few months, not only was this young man completely free from all the temptations towards drugs, his mind was completely healed.
Amen. Wow.
God's word is powerful. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. I mean, I'm adding. That's what he's saying. But understand, this is it. And mm-hmm. so abide. We're saying abide. We're saying listen, get free, brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let that seed grow into something. Understand, there's four soils. You know, there's four soils, and every seed did not produce because of what that particular person chose to do with the seed that came their way. And he goes on to say, Dutch goes on to say, I recalled another young man who was set free from the poverty mentality, having only known extreme poverty up until this point in his life. Seeds of revelation were planted while hearing a man speak on true prosperity, being blessed by God to be a blessing. The transformation of his mind came about as he spent months identifying and meditating upon scriptures of God about provision, about sowing, about reaping, etc. Before long, the stronghold was broken, and in its place was an incredible faith for finances. Mm, mm, mm. He became one of the most prosperous men I know. And one of the best givers, from poverty to one of the best givers. And so he goes on, he says, with the seed principle, he talks about it. I could see the thread. You know, it's like, I was like, I think I see something here. It's something, yeah, I think right. I see something connecting. He says, I could see the thread. It became what I called the seed principle, a process of growing until fruition, a process of growing until fruition. Suddenly, I knew I could expect freedom in problem areas of my life if I had not... He says, I couldn't see and I couldn't expect freedom in problem areas of my life if I had not spent time in God's word regarding this particular area. Mm. I mean, if you're needing to be delivered from a stronghold with lust, but you're spending all your time in prosperity, you're just only being lustful for more money and more stuff. I mean, you're going to have to.
Catch a clue.
You're gonna have to,
hello.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are religious topics off limits for a writing assignment in college? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I attend a community college here in Monterey, and we were told to write a free topic essay that could be about anything that we wanted, and the point of the essay was to check our Spanish vocabulary and grammar, and I wrote a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I got it returned to me with no grade, saying that it was an inappropriate subject and that the teacher did not want me preaching.
Well, Chris, let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice, because when you're given a free topic, that means the student picks the topic. Religious topics are not off-limits, or a gospel presentation is not off-limits. It's supposed to be checking your utilization of a foreign language, and that's fine. But when the teacher gives an open-ended assignment like that, they can't say, well, we'll accept everything except discussion about religious faith or practices. So let me get you in touch with our lawyers at the ACLJ, and we'll get you some help. There is not a religious exemption to the First Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Silent night, holy night.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so you have to work. You have to work this process, the seed process. Mm. Information seeds must become fruit-producing revelation. Information seeds must become fruit revelation. And for that to happen, you have to tend the seed. Mm. You have to tend your heart. You have to tend the garden. You have to abide, abide, and abide and abide. Mark 13, Mark 4, Luke 8 all recount the parables of the sower in which Jesus talks in detail about this seed principle. He indicates that the maturity of the seed, his word in us, is a growing process. And if the seed is nurtured just like a natural seed, it will grow into fruition. Jesus summarized the process of tending the seeds, he goes on to say, of his word as follows. Number one, hear. That means receive the written word or the spoken word of God, Matthew 13, 23. The second is understand. Put these new pieces of God's word together with the knowledge of God we already have for greater revelation, Matthew 13, 23. Number three, accept. Receive and embrace with obedience. Mark 4, 20. And four is hold fast in our tending to the seed. Luke 8, 15. We're talking about, get this, a word from Dutch Sheets. And it's such an encouraging word talking about the seed processes, how God works. Things come to you and us in seed form. And we have to work that seed. We have to work that seed for that to produce in our life. And this is like the now generation. I mean, it's like, okay, like Pat's Pantry. It's like frozen biscuits, frozen tacos, frozen this. I mean, used to be. Now it's just lettuce. Pray for him. Send food. We're taking pledges today.
Send some
feed
porridge.
Feed the boy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Grass, lettuce. Green stuff.
And yeah. Anyway, so understand that he says, so he's talking about Jesus, Dutch Sheets, Jesus summarizes, and we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch so you can carry this, and also at iAbide, of course, iAbide.org. But Jesus summarizes this whole process that we're talking about in regards to the seeds of his words about hearing, understanding, accepting, and holding fast.
Mm.
Hearing the word, understanding what you heard. So many people don't spend any time to study to show thyself approved.
Mm-hmm.
Or in regards to the NIV, you know, study. And to the GIV is like, why aren't you spending any time in the word? I mean, understand. And the third is, okay, now by faith, accept it. By faith, accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, I can't accept it because it's just seed. But inside every acorn is a forest.
Mm-hmm.
Inside every apple seed is an orchard. What's inside you? I mean, think about it. What's inside of you? I'll tell you what was inside Peter. When Peter was on the boat and Jesus was walking on the water, there was a seed of faith inside of him that could walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
The second that Jesus would call to him and say, come to me, he would step out of what typically holds everyone and walk on something that nobody other than Jesus ever walked on before. That was inside of him. And all he had to do was just hear the word. He had to hear the word. He had to understand, come to me. And he had to accept it. And he had to hold fast to it. And as long as he was holding fast to it, guess what he was doing? He was walking on the water.
Sure mm-hmm.
What happened when he stopped holding fast to it?
He sunk.
He started sinking. So think about that. Man, what if I just live a life of abiding?
Mm.
Abiding, abide, abide. Abide, says Dutch Sheets. And so he talks about we can abort the process. We can abort the process. And he goes on and says, Dutch Sheets goes on to say, Jesus also mentions a valuable truth of which we all need to be acutely aware as we tend to our seed, whether through fear, financial stress, lust, Satan's primary goal is to get us to abort the process so he can steal the seed.
Mm.
Remember, he told us, he said, immediately Satan comes to steal the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything starts by seed, you're thinking he's trying to steal your apples, but those apples are somebody else's fruit. But your fruit's going to come from that seed that he wants to steal. Not understanding that it's the seed process, you've been letting him steal your seed all day long because he's like, I don't care. I can't eat on that.
Mm.
I'll eat on somebody else's tree. It's like, yeah, but look, that's somebody else's fruit. That's not your fruit. Unless you bear fruit, showing yourself to be the Lord's disciple, right?
Your own fruit.
Your own fruit. Mm-hmm. That's not your apple. That's a graven image.
You didn't build that apple.
You didn't build that apple. Right? Ooh, that's good.
Wow.
Oh, man, that's so good. I want to talk about that today.
You didn't build that apple.
You didn't build that church. That's not your church.
Mm.
All right, getting back. And so Jesus also mentioned this valuable truth he talks about the enemy wants to steal your seed. His attacks will no doubt be well-timed, sneaking in at our most vulnerable moments in our life. Despite the storms that will come to disrupt and challenge our maturity, we must strengthen ourselves in the Lord and hold fast to the confession of hope. 1 Samuel 36 and Hebrews 10:23. If you continually yield to the work of the master potter, he will give grace to help us in our time of need and bring to completion the good work that he begun in you. See Hebrews 4:16, Philippians 1:6. Now he talks about nurturing that word, and he kind of summarizes it. In summary, he says, when we persist in nurturing the Word of God, revelation will come to enlighten us and bring truth to us. Ephesians 1:17-18 talks about it. If attending to that word, Proverbs 4:20, guarded, Proverbs 4:23, continue in John 15. James 1:25, and meditating upon Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 1:1-3, the word of God will bear fruit he has promised us. Let me say that again. In summary, when we persist in nurturing the word of God, revelation will come to enlighten and bring truth to us. If we attend to and guard and continue in and meditate upon, the word of God will bear fruit, this fruit that he's promised to us. Galatians 6:9 offers the perfect encouragement. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, in due season, we will reap if we do not grow weary. Anchor yourself in God's word, he says. Surround yourself with life givers who will pray for you, who will pray with you, and hold you accountable to the standards God has called you to. Continue to abide with him. Abide in his word, and you will be set free to become whom God has made you to be and experience the power of your identity in Christ. Is that not awesome?
Wow, that is powerful.
Seeds.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Abide, abide, abide.
Most important, most powerful revelation he's received. Isn't that something?
You think about it. He tells us, God tells us through his son, speaking to us, Emmanuel says, this is how it works. He's the seed is my word. And when we speak the word right now, you're listening to VFN radio and watching us on Christian television, we're speaking this word over you. And you can let it just be stolen from you instantly. Or you can say, you know what? I hear it. And I'm going to seek understanding of this. I'm going to get in the word. I'm going to seek understanding. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to abide on this. I'm going to abide on this. And now that I get this understanding, then I'm going to accept it. It's a God word for me. And it's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's faith. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So you're going to have to accept this by faith. But you can do this if you heard, you understand, and now it's a process of is accepting. And then finally, what do you got to do? You got to fight the good fight of faith. Just hold on to it. You'll be surprised if you write down what God said to you and stay faithful. Understand, despite the enemy just beating the stew out of you, if you just stay faithful to God, you'll go back and look at things you wrote down 10 years ago and you go, oh,
wow.
I even forgot that I even, you know, Joseph's going, I didn't even remember that dream. I don't even remember telling my brothers that dream. I don't even remember that dream. And all of a sudden, you know, he's back, he's reading his journal and he's going like, wow, this is, my brothers just came and they bowed down. Oh, this is that dream.
This is that,
you know, because I'm obviously being enslaved and beat and deceived and lied on and imprisoned and all this kind of stuff. It would have a tendency to cause you to just lose your focus for a while, but it won't cause you to lose what you have faith in. You still have faith. It might not be on your mind. You've already planted it on your heart and you're holding God. I said, the enemy will kind of buffet you and buffet you and buffet you and get you to try to lose heart and shrink back. And you just go, I don't understand what's going on, but God is faithful, and I trust him in this process, and this process is going to bring to pass these seeds that was planted in my heart. It's going to bring to pass the fruit, a harvest. And by the way, as we're closing here, I just want to know, when God launched Vine Fellowship Network University, he launched it with acorns. Why? Mm-hmm. Because in every acorn, there's a forest. In every seed, in every apple seed, there's an orchard. The question is, what's in you? I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on the Emerald Coast, WHB audience, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Here we are, man. It is amazingly Tuesday. You know, it is amazing. Every single time, you ever had a Monday? Yeah, I guess you had a Monday before. But yeah. You know, one of those Mondays, you're thinking, my goodness. And you're just thinking, like, you know, oh my goodness, Tuesday's going to come. And you kind of stretch it out. You do everything you can to kind of beat it, roll it. Do everything you can to kind of stretch that Monday out. And no matter what, man, no matter what. Or even stay awake. So you stay awake. If I stay awake, maybe tomorrow won't come.
It'll never come.
And then find out, not only does it come, but now you're sleepy, irritable. It's here. I mean, it's amazing.
And it's the next day.
Tuesday just shows up. It just shows up. And then And then you're thinking, man, I was worried about Tuesday. But guess what? Before I had a chance to even think about Tuesday, Wednesday happened. And next thing you know, the judgment's either growing. Time flies by.
Yeah, it does.
It is amazing. And, you know, I want to encourage you today to really think about it. Because one of your greatest adversaries is your own perception of time. God has given you a measure of it. He's given you a measure, a moment. And nobody knows, you know, your days are numbered and God knows those numbers. But understand this, that is your stage. That is your part to play in this awesome drama that God has laid out since the beginning of time. All of heaven is looking down upon you. God is expecting great things from you to do, invest everything that he's given you for his glory. So when he returns, you'll see that you've gained an interest. And you can't, you have to understand and get the right perception of time. Mm. Because time will just, it is a procrastinator's best friend, because it just clicks away and inside they go, well, that's so great. You know, I would have done it, but I would have had time. I didn't have time. But, you know, God knows the motives of that person's heart. But understanding this, that you have to take time and force it to be in compliance with your destiny. And it just seems harder than ever before. It just seems harder than ever before. There's so much information, so much data, so many things happening in a day. I mean, you know, do we really need to know about all that? You know, and they're just downloading just time. That's why we really try to separate what's important, what's not important, and sharing with you God's news behind the news. Because, you know, how much do you need to know? Mm-hmm. If Israel's surrounded like a trembling cup, pray for them, you know, in regards to that. But, you know, every single day they move 2 inches closer. They, you know, it's like creating this whole anxiety inside of you. But also that listen, it's not just everybody else's time or somebody's time that you're focused on. It's your time. Do something with the time that God's given you. Force it to be in compliance with what God has called you to do. Just step out in bold faith, like John G. Lake says, and God will meet you there. He'll step over 1 million people to find someone who will believe him. Look, he searched over the entire earth, and he found David in the wilderness tending sheep because he knew that his heart was right. You know, everything wasn't prepared yet, but his heart was right. He stepped over Saul and all these ones who were hiding behind rocks, and everybody, including the religious folk, and stepped over all of those to go find a shepherd out there who had a heart that was after him. And God began to prepare him. And David stepped out. When God said, go back to the mundane things, he did it with great vibrance. But also when he stepped out and the moment called him, he just stepped out and he did what was required. We're in a day and a time where time is ticking off rapidly. And we have so many people that are not hiding behind rocks, but they're sleeping behind rocks only because the rock has cable. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you turn it off, you might find out, my goodness, I have a lot of time on my hand. Mm-hmm. A lot of time. And some people say, well, that's the reason why I watch it, because I want the time to tick away so that when my life ends, I'll be distracted from the reality that I did nothing with the time that God has given me. And what I found out in my own personal experience, don't wait for anybody. Understand, you stand alone before the throne of God. No witnesses, no suspects. All you're going to have to offer him is what you did with the time that he gave you. That's it. He said the master is going to hand out talents, and he gives one this person a little bit, and this one a little bit more, and this one a little bit more. And then he goes away, and then he comes back. They don't know when he's coming back, but he comes back. When he comes back, he evaluates what you did with the time and the talents that he's given you. He didn't compare anybody to anybody other than the fact that they did something with what they were given. But if God's entrusted you with one thing, wear that puppy out. I mean, use it nonstop. Mm-hmm. Just work it. And if you're faithful over the one thing, God will give you more things. If you have two things, I mean, just begin to do something for God. I mean, just go feed the hungry and clothe the naked and bring shelter for the poor until you figure it out. But don't just sit back waiting for a hallelujah chorus come from heavens with angels, you know, saying, go thou us to the homeless and preach the gospel us and all this different stuff. It's like, come on, dude. If somebody showed up and you're having problems and they helped you, you're grateful. Mm-hmm. Just do things for the cause of Christ, and let them know, I am here today, not in front of some television or some job that I used as an excuse for years. I'm here because God has called me, saved me, and loves me and loves you. And that's why I'm giving you this clothes right now. That's why I'm preaching you the gospel. That's why I'm going to be
I will pastor you, that type of thing. And you're just saying, I'm doing this because I love God. I'm not going to spend my life, you know, sleeping, my vapor of time sleeping. But you have to force it. You have to take time and force it to be in compliance with the destiny God's called you to. They say, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but these are estimates, that 3% of the world, 3% of the people in America employ the other 97%. They did a survey in Harvard or Yale or something like that about people that wrote down their visions and what their expectations were and set their goals down and tracked their day-to-day progress with their planners. And they found out that 80% of the wealth was in 20% of the people's hands. And those people were the ones that did take a time and force it to be in compliance with what God's called them to. Listen, you only have your eyes. Nobody can see through your eyes. I was frustrated for an entire year trying to find somebody who could give me the right kind of contacts, because I wanted contacts. I didn't want glasses. And I finally settled with the glasses with a 2x4 across the top of them, because that keeps me from having them fall apart every 30 days and have to go back and see the people. And I just didn't want. I wanted contacts. You know, like John. You know, John's got blue eyes. And he buys them in a container.
Hazel. No, I'm joking.
Right. How is she doing? Anyway, so they and, you know, God was speaking to me the whole year. I was just sad. Man, I just spent lots of money. I looked at people who had a lot of education. And I just looked at and said, make me see better. And they would put all this stuff on me. You know, how about this? How about that? How about this? I'm like, this is your job. I mean, nothing. I don't. Now, listen, I'm not talking negative about you. I'm just talking about your job. I'm thinking, if I had to go all day long, how about this? This better or that better? I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. That's not me. That's not. Speaking of that, well, I'll talk about that in a moment, but. But you got to take time, and you got to force it to be in compliance with what God's called you to do. And you can't blame your life on anybody else. You can't blame your time wasted on anybody else. You're going to stand alone before the throne of God. And we need some help. Those that are on the front lines need help. Gideon needs help. David needs help. People that are willing to go out and step out and trust God, you know, they need help. You need to be shoulder to shoulder with them on behalf of the kingdom, and to forcefully advance the kingdom and to bring hope to a hopeless generation. There is hope in God. But we have to shake ourselves and realize, wait a minute, I'm sleepy, I'm lethargic, I've been hiding and letting time just pass me by. And you have to force it to be in compliance. And you can do that, and hopefully that'll be made available one day on VFN TV, but value-based vision management, understanding that you can force it, you can apply God's wisdom. You can apply God's wisdom to time, taking it and forcing it to be in compliance. There's wisdom on how to do that. And the wisdom on how to do that is something very simple, just planning out your day, you know, writing down and searching out what God's called you to do, what your vision is for your life, what God's called you to do, and begin to put that as a on your timeline, and begin to break it down to small intermediate steps and begin to say, yeah, I'm going to do this step and this step and this step. And next thing you know, you begin to accomplish things. Mm-hmm. And you even prioritize your regular day too, because that's been taking all your time. You need to put it in the right perspective. And what happens eventually, that very thing that God's called you to do comes to pass, because you applied wisdom to your life. You took the vision that God's called you, it told you to walk out in your life. You wrote it down. You made it plain, just like Habakkuk says to do. You made it plain so other people can run with it. You don't talk when people... People talk about, you know, this is what I feel like I'm called to do. And you're like, what? What's that? What? You know, if you're the only one that understands that, it's not ready yet.
Right.
Because you have to write down what other people can run with it. And this is what some people say, well, I don't want other people to run with it. This is mine. I say, okay, well, have fun with it.
Yeah, right.
Have fun with that. But the you write down so other people can run with it, and understand that if you'll be faithful in applying God's wisdom to bringing those things to pass in this thing called a life, this vapor, this premarital time that we have before the great wedding banquet in heaven, where the bride of Christ being married over to Jesus in front of the Father and all of the heavenly hosts, that we can bring something to lay at his feet. Mm. We can lay and understand. People say, well, which people who are struggling with this look at other people's life and they think, but they're just so smart and they have it all together. No, they just are persistent. They're just persistent. They're consistent. They apply wisdom. And when they fall down and they make mistakes, they understand, they just get back up and go again. They just don't stop. They don't wait for somebody else to do something before they obey God. Mm. And I just want to encourage you today. You got to have to just shake yourself. Shake yourself and say, you know what? I am not going to let 2013 or the year you're listening to this pass by. Pass by without me accomplishing what God has on my heart in this year. And it passes by. I mean, it's already, March is knocking on the door now.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're into what God wants you to be into, the less time you have to be able to do it. It's like the adversary just speeds your clock up.
Yeah, right. That's
you
right.
know, and when you're visionless, you're a student at school. We used to have clocks with hands on them, and you would stare at that clock, and 5 minutes would take 17 years. 17 years. And the last minute, it was like just all of demonic forces were holding back that second hand before that bell would ring. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. So many people who have no vision, they're the ones hanging around the time clock at the office. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all all, am I paying every one of you guys to hang around the time clock here? Yeah, they don't understand. The boss man's looking like, that's $75 an hour. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
And packing up 20 minutes before it's time to go. Like, wait a minute.
It's visionless. You know, it's just somebody that doesn't have purpose. And it's like, you need to sit down with that employee. He's... And work with them and get them to get the vision of what you're doing, because they are not connected to what's happening right there. But I just want to encourage you today to be connected. Be connected to what God has called you to do. Listen, the word of God applies to you, not him over there or her over there. Everything in the Bible is written to you, to the entire church. And that is what you're going to be evaluated by at the throne of God. That's it. It's all you're going to have to offer him is what you do for him. And in that, you're going to be tested. Things are going to come your way, but you just stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to him and understand it's in those testings that what you were doing, your motives will get worked out and all the different things. And then all of a sudden, you have more purity in what you're doing, because you're able to get rid of, that's gone. You know, all the hay, wood, and stubble is gone, and you have no problem letting anything go if it's just wasting your energy and busy in your life. So this morning, I just wanted to encourage you today, to take time and force it to be in compliance with the destiny God's called you to.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We were able to have Pat interpretate.
Interpretate.
Did you hear that? Okay. He interpreted it.
Okay.
He interpreted Fonzie and Potsy. And you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I'm Googling interpretate, but I'm trying to find it. And like, Google knows, it seems to know everything, but somewhere interpretate's not coming
up.
Interpretate. Hmm. I'm spelling it right.
Are you spelling it right?
But it keeps on trying to correct it like it's not a word or something.
Oh,
that's like a squiggly line underneath it. Interpretate. That's amazing, isn't it?
Interpretate.
Interpret.
I can write that.
Interpretate. You know, maybe our listeners can help us out with that. But I'm just glad he interpreted it.
I'm glad too.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
In sin and error pining.
We were talking about earlier about perseverance, and it's amazing. It's amazing to think that anything can get done in life or in the kingdom of God without having a spirit of perseverance. Let me tell you something. Perseverance is so needed. I mean, what can get accomplished if you don't persevere and stay the course? And I see oftentimes where people say they try. I put a good effort in, but they don't persevere and finish the race. They don't finish and go all the way. And Hebrews says, for us not to throw away our confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. Don't throw away your faith. Do not throw away your confidence in God. Confidence in yourself could always be thrown away. We're talking about, so do not throw your confidence away in God. because it will be richly rewarded. We need people to be confident in the Lord. So many times you see confidence being what I like to call as misplaced confidence. Confidence and trust in so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their cars, their resources,
right.
Their own strength, abilities, other people. But what about confidence in the Lord, faith in God? That's how precious your faith is. And the enemy will try to do everything in his power to get you to give up and to give in.
Mm-hmm.
Every lie, every attack. And the thing about it is that we cannot entertain those lies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that he is the father of all lies. Rest assured that whenever he's opening his mouth, he's always lying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's constantly trying to attack us with all kinds of thoughts, arrows, if you will, to get us to stop. No forward movement in God. It's all about stopping. It's all about no stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really protective over your heart and over your mind. I mean, the Bible says that above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4, I believe 23. You have to guard your heart. You got to guard your mind and not allow anything to run wild through your mind. And a bit, you know, one of the gifts that we could ever have is a busy and fruitful life.
Right.
Because when your life is consumed with doing the will of the Lord, when your life is consumed being productive and being fruitful, you don't have a lot of time to allow other things to run crazy in your mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're engaged in the things of God. You can get busy and see things happen and see fruit produce. But a mind that wanders and aimless, you know, just thinking about nothing today. Listen, if you don't have a thought in your mind, the enemy will be happy to give you and supply you not just one, but many. And oftentimes those thoughts are about giving up. Those thoughts are about giving in and quitting.
Mm.
Well, listen, if you quit, you're going to forfeit your reward. God wants to reward your faith, but you can't give up. And in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, it says, you need to persevere. You need to persevere. That word, when you think about the definition, it means to persist in anything that you have undertaken. I mean, it means that you just keep going. You maintain a purpose in spite of the difficulty and the obstacles and the discouragement. I mean, oftentimes it's like, oh, I tried doing hard. You know, I tried real hard. But then this obstacle came.
Right.
Then this situation came and I had to give up. No, you're supposed to maintain. You're supposed to persist in the midst of the difficulty. It's not about trying. No. Succeed. Do. Finish. Stick. Stay and stand. Hang in there. Hang tough. And when I think about perseverance and I think about not giving up, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but just in the news, a long-distance endurance swimmer, her name is Diane Nyad. She just finished, first person ever to do this. She swam all the way from Havana to Florida.
Now, where's Havana?
Cuba. Think about this. Cuba,
wow.
To Florida, all the way to Key West.
That's what, 90 miles?
No, 110 miles.
Wow.
First person to do this without a shark cage. People have done it before with a shark cage. Obviously, so they don't get, you know,
eaten
by a shark. But also the shark cage, I have learned, has a way that it propels people along, too. It's kind of an assistance.
Mm.
It kind of, you know, they kind of get some kind of, you know, a flow with that.
Mm.
So a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But she's attempted this. This is her fifth attempt. She has been stopped before because of jellyfish things. The water was too rough and she's, you know, not been able to make it. Interesting note, she's 64.
Wow.
64, and just so that you know, she was swimming for 53 hours.
Straight.
Well, she didn't come out the water. She did stop to eat, and what I guess she had boats that were following. She had a team of 35 with her during this whole thing. I guess they try to give her some food.
Does she sleep?
Apparently not. I mean, I don't know how she did that. Quite amazing to me.
That's more than 2 days.
Amazing. Amazing.
No, 53 hours.
Think about that.
Wow.
53 hours of swimming. I didn't even think about how do you sleep in the water? I mean, and she did it. She had this mask on her face to protect her from being stung by a jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
She had doctors that were there present monitoring her. At one time she even threw up because she had difficulty breathing. She was throwing up while she was swimming. And she endured. I mean, she was able to do it. And I'm just amazed that you talk about endurance, you talk about perseverance, and you talk about not giving up. This is something that she wanted to do for the longest time, and she did it. She set a record. And oftentimes people give up. They don't have the fortitude. They don't have, you know, I'm sure that over those 53 hours, she at least had 53 opportunities to give up.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I heard someone say that they were married for 50 years and they were celebrating their anniversary, and a very wise man, he says, yep, that means we had 53 opportunities to get a divorce, at least. You know, and these days people don't understand the word about perseverance. You know, right. You're seeing a culture that's easy to give in and give up, but we can't remember what the word of the Lord is to us. It says, do not give up. Do not throw away your confidence. You know, you need to persevere. You need to hang in there, hang tough, if you will. Some other words that go along with perseverance. You have to plug away. Because if you do, if you continue to persevere, you're going to receive. You're going to receive the reward. God has a reward. He wants to reward our faith. It's the testing of our faith that James talks about. But you know what? And he says that my righteous one will live by faith. When you think about all the things that you do in your life as a believer, everything you do comes by faith. Living by faith is not just a cute scripture that we put on a refrigerator. It's how we live. Everything should be done in faith. We love in faith. We're the righteousness of God in faith. Our salvation's by faith. We lay our hands on the sick and they recover by faith. We hear God's word by faith. We commune with the Lord by faith. It's all done by faith. We work by faith. We sow in faith. And it's the testing of your faith that has to persevere. The enemy wants to attack you in your faith, in your belief, and in your confidence that God is able. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more of all that you dream, can ask, think, or imagine. And you need to be sure in your confidence. You need to be sure in your trust. Because there are situations going to happen, just like this woman who was swimming. You can think of the current. They said at one point that she's swimming, that somebody, one of the doctors was in the water, and they have this electrical thing that they put in the water to scare off or get rid of the sharks that are approaching of the water. And they were telling her at one point, go to the right, go to the right, go to the left, go to the left. You're in shark-infested water. You have a 110-mile journey. I don't know many people who can walk 110 miles, much less swim.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Swim. Your body constantly has to be moving. I mean, how long can you float? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
How long can you float? Think about the energy that takes place, the training that takes place for that. And at any moment, if you believe, how many times could have been thought in her mind, you know, okay, maybe we need to stop. I can't do this anymore. But she kept pushing. She kept pushing. She kept, you know, envisioning the coast of Florida. Well, sometimes all you need to do, man, sometimes all you can do is to lock your eyes and see the vision. That's why, you know, God's people perish for lack of knowledge. They perish for lack of vision. They don't have vision. If you don't have vision, let me tell you something. The enemy is more than happy to supply you with multiple visions so that you can have division.
Mm-hmm.
And everything divided from itself will fall. That's why you got to purposely, whatever it is that God has called you to do, whether it's ministry, your job, a vision for your family, you have to know what it is clear cut so that you can stay focused, so that you can stay locked in for what God's called you to do. But if you're a visionless person, you're being tossed back and forth by every lie of the enemy, by every suggestion from someone who's been held captive, and you're not moving within your purpose. But you got to persevere. You've got to stick, stay, and stand. We need people today that are not going to just stand because it's comfortable, only in times that it's comfortable. What makes the measure of a man or a woman is when things are going down, when the chips are down, where are you? When times get difficult, where are you? Mm-hmm. Are you one that's firm and resolute and say, we're going to get through this? With God, all things are possible. We're going to get through this. We're going to make it through the other side. We're going to go through this, and we're not going to give up. Mm-hmm. You think about all the times that you could have given up.
Mm-hmm.
I think about all the times that you were tempted to throw in the towel. Listen, don't shrink back. The Word of God says that we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Listen, raise your faith level high. Believe again. Don't let your confidence be rocked. Maybe you found out that you have misplaced confidence. Maybe you've been trusting in yourself and things and people. Maybe you've been holding on to what other people have said. You need to know for yourself what the word of the Lord is. You need to spend some time abiding. You can go to iabide.org and get a simple plan where you can learn to spend time with God daily, where you can hear his voice for yourself and write down what God has told you in your quiet time. Listen, there's nothing like putting your hope, your confidence in the Lord. Let me tell you something. That's trust and confidence that can never be shaken. But you have to put it all in God and persevere all the way to the end.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your mm-hmm. iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, I went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.